This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart, written and narrated by Robert J. Morgan, and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
Welcome to the Table Podcast, where we discuss issues of God and culture, brought to you by Dallas Theological Seminary.
Welcome to the Table Podcast, where we discuss issues of God and culture. My name is Kimberly Cook, and I'm the Senior Administrator here at the Hendrick Center. And today, we're going to be talking about how to think Christianly about burial and cremation. And I am joined by Dr. Michael Spiegel, who is the Theological Department
Chair
and Professor. And has been a guest with us many times. Yes. So thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
So you have been here so many times that you actually have reached out to us and suggested a topic for us today.
That's
in
right.
This one. And what is it about it, about this area of discussion that made you say, hey, we really need to be addressing this?
Yeah, this is a question that is going to come up. As Christians, how do we think about and how do we treat the remains of a loved one after they're deceased? That's everybody's going to face it. They're going to face it personally, and they're going to face it with loved ones along the way. And so this question, the statistics now is cremation in the United States is up to about 50%. So it's it fluctuates depending on where you're at and such. But it is clearly regarded as a viable option. There are a lot of reasons for it. And Christians, I've noticed, have not been able sometimes to navigate the issues involved in that. And there's some strong opinions about it, which is understandable. And so I thought it would be a good topic to discuss and give some people some things to think about.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a deep theological question with theological ramifications that in a situation where you have to be making decisions where you might not, grief, your mind and your heart and everything just isn't functioning quite like it always does. And that's a hard time to be having to sort through these kinds
of deeper theological questions. That's right. And people will make emotional decisions. That's okay. We're emotional beings. Mm-hmm. But it would be good if people have a chance to think through the theological framework first. And that's really where we need to start. What is the theology of the person and the body? You hear sometimes people say, well, it really doesn't matter, and they'll speak in terms of just disposing of the remains or getting rid of the remains because that's not really that person and it doesn't really matter what you do with it. Well, that's not, as we'll probably discuss here, not really a Christian perspective of the body and of God's physical creation.
So what are the theological, biblical principles that we need to keep in mind as we are thinking through how to handle the dead and how even just to handle death in general as Christians?
Yeah. And so I think number one, we have to start out with, surprisingly, a proper understanding of creation, a good theology of creation, that God is the creator of heaven and earth, of things visible and invisible, not just the God of our souls and our spirits. And so he created our bodies and he created this physical creation good. And so this creation itself is not inherently evil. There are philosophies and religions out there that will say the body is just the shell. It's just the prison that we need to escape from. But that's not really a Christian perspective. God created us as, can I use a big word?
Sure.
I'll define it.
Sure.
Psychosomatic beings. That is psycho, psyche, a soul, an invisible part, and then somatic, a body. And we were not created as spirits that just happen to indwell a body for some practical reasons, but nor are we merely a body that where there is no immaterial part. We are both of these things together at the same time. That makes us who we are. And to emphasize one over another is really not a Christian perspective on a human person. My body is a part of me, and my soul is part of me. And so these things together make me. So when we talk about death, death is the that was not planned, that God did not intend for us to die, mm-hmm. but the ripping apart of the soul in the body. And then what that means is each part of that is incomplete. And that's a proper understanding of Christian death. And it should inform how we treat then the body itself. That is not just garbage or an incidental thing that happened to be associated with us for a season. It is an essential part of who we were and who we will be mm-hmm. as we get into the next area.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that theologically, the material world matters. Mm-hmm. And because the material world matters, our bodies matter, and they continue to matter even mm-hmm. as they decompose.
Correct. Really. Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And so then the next side of that is the eschatology or the,
yes, our hope
mm-hmm. and our future hope and what we are actually looking forward to. I know it is very, very popular out there in preaching. You hear it even at funerals we're fully whole now and so-and-so has died and is now, you know, experiencing real life. Well, biblically, theologically, that's not really completely accurate. It is very clear that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, mm-hmm. and that's a great hope that we have. But that is not to be ended with a period, but with an ellipses, dot, dot, dot. There's more. And I would direct us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, which talks about, look, we do not grieve as we do grieve, but we don't mm-hmm. grieve as those who have no hope, because we believe that Christ, when he returns, is going to raise the dead. And by that, it means literally he's going to raise up our physical remains, just as his body that was laid in the tomb came to life again, but glorified and immortal and of a different higher quality. The same is true about the remains of we believers. Our bodies, what is left of them, God has chosen to take that as a seed, as it were, and raise up that body into new life, into the glorious body conformed to Christ's body. So not only does matter matter, mm-hmm. but so does the body have a place in God's plan of redemption, not ultimately annihilation, but rescuing that physical body, that physical part of us from death, and reuniting it with our spirit and continuing on forever as glorified, immortal, psychosomatic embodied beings. So that's part of the Christian hope. That needs to be communicated just as much as dying and going to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just when you mentioned how people handle things in funerals and yeah. in mourning mm-hmm. and that kind of situation, oftentimes we hear, you know, it really is for the best. They're in a better place, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And,
right.
and you addressed the material part of that. But to me, there seems like there's a treatment and an understanding there of death that may not quite line up with what Christians typically have believed,
right.
correct?
Yeah, and what the Bible teaches is, last time I checked, it still says that death is the enemy. And it's the last enemy that will be ultimately defeated and eradicated. It's not a part of God's design that we were to die. So it's part of the fall. It's part of the curse. And so that's one thing that Christ has come to conquer. And he doesn't conquer it merely by when our body dies, our souls go to heaven to be with Christ. That is part of it. And that is good news. I'm not going to deny that. But it's only half the story. So is it true that people who are suffering from a really painful illness and sickness, that when that suffering ceases at death and they are absent from the body and present with the Lord, they're in a better... Sure, Paul says it's far better to be with Christ. That's the part of it that's the better.
Mm-hmm.
Being with Christ, clearly being with Christ. Nothing against you, but I would rather be sitting here with Christ. You know, there's something great about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in contrast to the hope, to the suffering and the pain and the death, there's something about being with Christ. But that doesn't make the pain and the death and things bad, good.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we sloppily to say things like death is great, death is the door, death is merely a transition. No, death is the enemy.
Something
death is painful.
In.
No, yeah. It's not something we rejoice in. We grieve, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. And so we have to make sure that we don't call God's or our enemy and God's enemy, death, our friend. That's I think that's the main point.
And that's a lesson I learned here at seminary, and you guys do a great job of kind of hammering away at that with us. And it's it really is a paradigm shift from what you're raised in even in, you know, Christian environments and certainly in non-Christian environments, how they speak of death and, you know, a peaceful place, that kind of thing. But something that always struck me is, with the verse and with that in mind, we grieve as those who have
hope,
who are not without hope.
Right.
But we also grieve as those who recognize that something has just been ripped and torn.
Yeah.
And we grieve and recognize that this is not the way that things were supposed to be. And so on a certain level, our grief can almost, I don't want to say it's deeper than other people's grief, but it's a different kind of grief because it's a recognition of the brokenness of the world and how and I feel like that's even honoring to the Lord, and because it's a recognition of the fact that death is so evil and it's bad and it's not our friend, and and so we grieve with hope, but we also grieve with a deeper knowledge.
This
of
isn't the way it's supposed to be, and to know for a fact, which is this trust, this hope and confidence that this isn't the way it's meant to be, and this isn't the way it's going to end. And being stuck in the middle there, that tension that creates, it unlike someone who just believes in the material world or says, well, you know, death is death, it's just something, it's the big ugly you need to get used to. No, we don't have to get used to it. We battle against it. We battle against death and suffering and pain and injustice in this world because we know that's not what God values and what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with that theological, biblical foundation laid, we're going to move to the
question
practical
at hand.
Discussion. Yeah, as to how to Christianly handle our dead and how we handle that body, and that matters and will continue to matter into the resurrection.
Yeah.
And the first question that I have and that has come up as I've had conversations with other people about this is does this, when we're talking about how we handle the body, does it impact the person's salvation? Does it impact their final resurrection? Are there going to be actual, you know, here's another big word, ontological things? Am I deciding something for my loved one?
Are there going to be repercussions in the future, right? Can I make the wrong decision and have this person? No, no, that's never been the belief of the Christian faith, that you have very early, might surprise some people watching this, that very early treatises on resurrection, and it's already in the second century, discussing at length the Christian view of the resurrection of the body, and the scenarios come up with, well, what if the person ends up, you know, dying in a fire and is annihilated by fire, or dies at sea and is, I mean, they really go into detail, you know, eaten by fish, and how is the resurrection going to happen? And I said, well, no. The God who can create everything out of nothing and sustains this world can reconstitute a body out of whatever may be left or may not be left. So the promise is in resurrection, he chooses to, because he is a God of redemption, take whatever is there in as far as remains and reconstitute, work that into his process of glorification. So what happens to the body does not affect God's promise of resurrection. There are, however, I will say, in light of what we believe about what a person is and in light of our future hope, more Christian ways, things that are better representatives of our Christian hope, I guess confessions of our faith and what God is doing than others. So it's
so we
more
should think about how we handle the body as more of a confession of what we believe than rather having something truly
and a testimony
affect the
to
life
others
of
as well.
Our loved one. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So with that settled, just making sure, because that's a big question for some people.
It is.
And that's a terrifying question if you haven't been instructed
exactly
and thought through.
And also there have been, you know, periods in history where they, where people thought that, well, if we burn someone at the stake or burn their remains, that'll prevent them from being resurrected.
Yes, yeah.
There were those ideas out there, but those aren't really sustainable.
So it seems to me that there's three options, mm-hmm. at least here in America in the research mm-hmm. that I did.
Sure,
there
yes.
are three
mm-hmm.
options for handling the remains of a loved one.
Right.
And it really is burial, cremation, or donation.
Correct.
And so I think we should go ahead.
Well, the donation part is, it's very uncommon that someone wills their entire body to, say, science. Mm-hmm. People say, I'm going to leave my body to science. It's not common. Maybe it'll become more common. The main decisions most people have for loved ones is burial or cremation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an organ donor, mm-hmm. and I don't know if anybody will want my organs afterwards or whatever, but that is something that people have to consider as
mm-hmm.
well. But even then, if you're an organ donor, for instance, there's still going to be a decision that needs to be made mm-hmm. with the rest of my physical remains.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. All right, so let's start with burial,
mm-hmm.
because that has, it seems, been historically the preferred, I guess,
yeah.
way to say,
mm-hmm.
Way that Christians have handled their loved ones and the bodies. So tell me
yeah.
a little bit about that.
Yeah, and it varies, of course, from culture to culture.
Mm-hmm.
Most
yes,
watching
yes.
this are going to be in the North American culture. So we'll talk about that first, but I will make some other mentions because we do need to realize our practices are unique, especially, for instance, here the idea of burial is you're lying a person in a state of rest, and that Paul talks about don't mourn, you know, like those who have no hope, about those who have fallen asleep, and that image of falling asleep implies one day they're going to awaken, and so it's an important metaphor, and lying in repose and rest that helps. It's the last image a person has oftentimes
mm-hmm.
In a funeral, in a traditional funeral, where the casket is closed and we see a person at peace and rest oftentimes. That's kind of an important. And then they're placed in the grave. And the idea is, as it comes from the Bible, as a seed is planted, one day that's going to come and be resurrected. In America, that's the ancient tradition,
mm-hmm.
though not exactly like that throughout biblical history, especially. In America, we do embalming most of the time, which preserves the remains for much, much longer than traditionally in many countries. And ancient times, a body was buried very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and then the process of, I don't want to get into a lot of detail, but decomposition reduces the body to its elements and to bones, and then eventually in a grave after about 50 to 100 years to really nothing. So there's not much left at that time. So that's the normal process that is expected. In fact, if someone were to ask me, I would say I prefer it, perhaps, mm-hmm. because of the long tradition and because of the image of the rest and repose that it portrays.
Okay.
God is a genius storyteller, and the evidence of this is threaded throughout Scripture. In Christianity Today's new show, Holy Curiosity, with me, Kat Armstrong, we explore storied connections threaded throughout Scripture from the Old Testament to the New. Our first mini-series, Connecting Dinah and the Woman at the Well, welcomes experts like Drs. Tim Mackey and Diane Landberg to give us insight and context into the physical location and meaning of these two stories. These stories will spark holy curiosity in your own faith, because once you see these connections, you can't unsee them. God wastes no person, place, or thing. Listen and subscribe to Holy Curiosity with Kat Armstrong on your favorite podcast platform.
What do you make of arguments that, I've seen some arguments where people say, well, the biblical examples were that people were buried,
mm-hmm.
you know, such as Sarah and Abraham. And,
sure.
and
mm-hmm.
so that's why we should do it. What
yeah.
do you think of those arguments?
That's okay. I think it's they did that in contrast to the a pagan disregard or disdain for the body, which was burning and getting rid of in ways that were not respectful to the body. It was more respectful. But then you also have to take a look at the reckon with the real history. A body was often laid in a tomb or something, and it would decompose. The bones then were often collected and placed in a mm-hmm. common pit sometimes with the rest of the bones of the ancestors, and they lost the, in a sense, the distinct identity. They became kind of one with the relatives. Sometimes the bones were literally folded up and placed in an ossuary, a container with a name on it, and retain the identity. We don't really do that, even though archaeologists and others have shown this was a practice in the early Hebrew, ancient Near Eastern customs. Catacombs were also a common. So there are a lot of things that happened during biblical and New Testament times that we don't do. Mm-hmm. Everything, all of the practices are done in a certain culture, in a certain context, mm-hmm. right? So I would say, again, it is the clear example. Does that mean it's the only option in our own culture and context? Mm-hmm. That's a valid question.
Yes. So the other option that most people have before them mm-hmm. would be cremation. And if you even search Christianity or Christian cremation, something like that online, you will get a vast...
large number of opinions on that, definitely.
And a lot of them are quite negative. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Probably because of the biblical example, which is understandable. It is an ancient and historic custom. Again, though, the practice is very different than how we practice burial with embalming and such in the United States anyway. So that's a main reason. Also, sometimes they'll say that the process of cremation is disrespectful to the body, and I would encourage people. We won't discuss it here, but I would encourage them to look into the different practices and what's involved, especially in their particular context. But the idea of burning something that in scripture you burn. The condemned are burned, and Hades mm-hmm. or Gehenna or trash is burned, and the associations there, and so I get it, and we do have to think about that context. On the other hand, we have to be honest. In the end, if you were to practice a classic burial of a body in a grave, after about 10, 20 years, the body is reduced to bones. And after about 50 to 75 years or so, those bones are reduced to elements of the mm-hmm. basic elements. And it is a process of ultimately oxidation, to bring in technical terms like this, which is ultimately the same process that occurs in a cremation, except the cremation oxidation process takes 1 to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, what you have is roughly the same elements mm-hmm. of the body. And so now the question really, I think, is what are the motives behind it? And then what are you going to do with these remains that you have left? I think that's really the question. Cremation is not going to go away.
No.
In some countries, we've been talking mostly about the North American context. In some countries, there really aren't options. Cremation oftentimes is the only option, mm-hmm. or unless you're wealthy, rich, and can
yes.
afford something else.
A much more affordable option. And there's a lot of I think there, not mm-hmm. a lot, but there's also an argument out there that it's a greener option,
mm-hmm.
And in
sure.
our day and concern about environment and that kind of thing.
That is also a case, a reality that the space, obviously, the process mm-hmm. is much more expensive. I would say that should be low down on our list of priorities as Christians, how much, which is a cheaper cost.
Mm-hmm.
But the process of cremation itself does have some questions of how green that is and mm-hmm. some of the products of that. But in the end, the remains that a person would preserve in an urn, for instance, there's very little regulation regarding those because they really aren't harmful.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly neutral with regard to their, you know, they're not toxic, they're not dangerous, mm-hmm.
So is it possible to confess a belief in the physical bodily resurrection mm-hmm. and practice cremation?
Yes, I think it is. It's in the same way that, let me give you, I guess, a personal example. When I was a young child, I was 5 years old, I had an older brother who passed away from leukemia. He was 11. And my parents bought a plot of land for burial, and he had a traditional burial. And at the same time, I'm not exactly sure why they did this, but they basically bought plots for mom and dad right next to the same plot. So the clearly the traditional burial is confessing there's a future for these remains. There's a name here, a memorial, and we are confessing that this, what is here, is related to that person. Mm-hmm. It is that part of that person. My father recently passed away, and my parents had since moved to Arkansas. And obviously, to get the remains from Arkansas to Minnesota, where my brother is buried, that's fairly complicated.
Complex, yeah.
And so my father and mother chose to have his remains cremated and then transported up to Minnesota mm-hmm. to be interred in the grave. In that process, in the end, we are still treating those remains as these are the remains of my father. They are being buried. The identity is being preserved, mm-hmm. just like his son who's buried will be buried next to him. And in both cases, by attaching an identity to those remains, for as long as that memorial remains, we are confessing that this is related to that person and there's a future. Mm-hmm. It is an act of confession of faith, retaining the identity. So I would say, it is probably best Christian practice to retain the identity of those remains, whether mm-hmm. it's cremation okay. or burial.
Okay. Now, what are some ways, so let's say a Christian family did choose a cremation mm-hmm. option, and they were seeking to preserve the identity. Mm-hmm. So that would eliminate certain things that seem that, you know,
yeah,
you see on
very common
and
in vogue.
Kind of
yes.
thing,
spreading ashes,
handling.
Pouring
yes.
ashes in rivers or lakes. I have heard Christians doing that as well. I sometimes wonder if they've thought through it very carefully, or they're honoring the wishes of a mm-hmm. a person who is deceased that wanted that. Most of the time, as I've been able to engage or share things I've written on this with families facing this decision, they back away from that, the practice of distributing ashes or mm-hmm. pouring them. This was more kind of a confession of not a Christian worldview where the body just recycles, you know, we just mix it in and
we're
it recycles
all
with the creation. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a pantheistic confession mm-hmm. that you see in the Eastern religions. As they are exposed to a better doctrine of the body and our hope of resurrection, most Christians will back away from the idea of just simply distributing or disposing of that kind of language of the remains. But now what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the question.
Yeah.
With these remains. An urn with a name on it is that's one step. Sometimes it just stays there and the urn is done. They put it somewhere. My father-in-law in Germany was cremated and then buried in a plot. That's very common for Christians. So there is an identity marker, that person's identity, but the remains, it's a little bit smaller spot, mm-hmm. and those remains are preserved that way. Those are the main options. I would caution, again, God is going to resurrect whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're not endangering someone's physical salvation. But as a confession of faith and resurrection, retaining the identity of the remains in some sort of burial or interment of some sort is better, I think.
Okay. So that leads us to donation.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And there's really, as you talked about in the beginning, there's really two
mm-hmm.
situations. There's the donation of organs and for the sake of another's health.
Sure.
And then there is, it's just a general donation of one's body to science.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about the general donation first.
Okay. Of the whole body?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. What are your thoughts on that? And because I, as you know, as we've discussed with the cremation, if the idea is to keep an identity linked, that would be where I would question that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is still valuing the body.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense. And
yeah.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, again, it's hard for me to make decisions for other people. I think personally,
yes, yeah.
Again, based on everything we've just said about the Christian's confession of the body, oftentimes people who flippantly, sometimes jokingly say, just donate my body to science, you hear that. It often is the effect of a view of the body that is not quite Christian, that it is just disposable, it is just whatever practically is best. So if it's motivated by that, I want to challenge that belief about the body. And then that might lead some people to maybe want their body treated in a way that confesses its value and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
There are others who will say, look, if people can learn something and help others through research with the body, that's great. Sometimes though, I mean, you sometimes lose control of what will ultimately happen.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that are done with human bodies that are donated to science are not what we would call treating the body with dignity. And they may be genuine scientific pursuits. But I would challenge people to explore that, research that,
mm-hmm.
and ask, is this potential use of this body showing dignity? Is it confessing what we believe about the person's identity and that relationship to that body or not? And I don't want to get into it. Some of them can get pretty gross discussing what happens sometimes in forensic labs and things like this. So I would. Generally caution against it. And for me personally, that wouldn't really be an option.
Mm-hmm. And it seems that that's more of a personal decision.
For sure.
More than what you would be making for
another person.
For another
right.
person, yes.
Yeah,
you
that should be.
You would never have that option.
Let me just say again, and we'll probably say it again too, but it is good to make your wishes known.
Yes.
So that they don't have to make emotional decisions or uninformed decisions, and let your loved ones know what your preference would be.
Mm-hmm. So when it would come to donating one's organs,
correct.
Mm-hmm. Then it seems that, you know, you're able to help people, but you're right. It seems that there would still be remains
mm-hmm.
to honor and still make a sort of confession.
Yeah, almost always they're going to be remains of the remains. So it's a heart donation or lung or some different organs that are donated for the sake of someone else. And my wife is a nurse and used to work at a heart-lung transplant floor. And I know many of us know people who have been on donor lists waiting for donations. And you can, through a person's death, provide prolonged life for someone else. As I said, I kind of tipped my hand. I am an organ donor,
mm-hmm.
and if that happens, I feel okay about that. In the end, even those organs are going to die. But we still have to make the decision now with the rest of the body, what's going to happen, burial or cremation.
Mm-hmm. If somebody were looking for some sort of resources on this,
mm-hmm.
where would you send them? Have you found any?
You
said you've written a little bit on it. You faced
mm-hmm.
a little bit with your own family situations.
Sure.
Are there places to look?
I probably should have come with some. I'm not aware of any ready good treatments that I would say are thorough and balanced, I suppose. I do have a little essay online that I've done, just basic
mm-hmm.
couple points and counterpoints, and I land kind of where I'm describing here. There's, you really do have those two options. The question is, what do you do with the remains afterwards? Really is the question. I would say consult with your pastor, your mm-hmm. leader of the church, and counseling, determining what they're comfortable with. I would say also explore the processes so that you're not making uninformed decisions. Also, a robust theology of the body and a proper understanding of our future hope, being resurrection as well. Those things, I think, I'm not sure could fill a whole book.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
and
I don't
maybe
know if
that's
I would,
why it seems
maybe,
like it's a
right,
little bit of a
right
it's, of a gap. Is it's a little bit
yeah,
more than
more
a blog post.
It's
but
more of
less
a multi-page brochure to kind of give
yeah.
you the. And in the end, you can't make a decision for someone else. Now there are religious traditions where the decision is made for you if you're part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously that's to be considered and respected. Most of the time in the United States, we have to make that decision as a family.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of to wrap it up,
mm-hmm.
when we're seeking to think Christianly about death and handling the remains of our loved ones, we need to recognize that the material world matters.
Mm-hmm.
That we do not mourn as those without hope,
right.
but we do mourn as those who recognize that something has been broken mm-hmm. and ripped in a proper theology of the body. But we also recognize that there are legitimate ways to handle
right.
The remains of our loved ones beyond burial, as long as there are certain steps that are mm-hmm. taken, confessional steps mm-hmm. that are taken. And I feel like you're saying predominantly that would be identifying, making sure that the remains are identified. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I would say that's
in that
true.
Confession?
Yeah, identifying the remains because you're confessing, no, this person, this is that person, part of that person,
mm-hmm.
and there's a future hope for that person. And confessing that through either a burial marker or some other means. You know, ideally, I counsel if someone needs to be cremated for whatever reason or is cremated, chooses that, I keep the remains identified and then inter that person's remains in a plot that is marked. That would be my preference if a person chooses cremation. And also I would add to that, be aware that a lot of these questions, options are either expanded or limited depending on where you are in the world and what mm-hmm. the circumstances of a person's death might be. And so you need to think about that as well. And in my wife's home country of Germany, it's very, very, very expensive to purchase a plot that lasts forever. You lease a plot and they don't embalm. And after about 50 years, they basically bury someone else there. And that's unheard of for us here.
Mm-hmm.
But realize that the questions and decisions you make are going to be different depending on where you are, even in our own country. And so keep that in mind as well.
Christianity and thinking biblically and theologically about that offers that kind of flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
you're coming
and
at
that
it with
we
some
don't
principles.
Have to
right.
enforce this one view.
Right, correct.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for suggesting this topic. I think and I hope it will be really helpful for people who are
That's
either just
hope.
Thinking about the topic or, you know, are really facing it and having to think through it in the midst of having to deal with some other
yeah.
things as well. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate it.
And
thank you.
Thank you for everybody who's listening. And if you have any topics that you would like to suggest, please feel free to email us at thetable@dts.edu. Again, that's thetable@dts.edu. And please join us next time as we discuss issues of God and culture.
Thanks for listening to The Table Podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit dts.edu/thetable. Dallas Theological Seminary. Teach truth, love well.